Sri Goswami was a highly learned sage and was able to describe things in a poetic manner. One day Maharaj Parikshit again inquired from him after hearing all that. So we are now coming on to another section where Maharaj Parikshit asked. So actually here at this time, in this canto right now, is that Maharaj Parikshit is listening to the answers that Sukadev Goswami is giving to the questions he asked. Okay? And I won't be going through all the questions again, because we have repeated it many times. These are some of the most relevant questions you can think of in our life. He is asking Maharaj Parikshit, what is life, what is duty, what should we do, who should we pray to, what should the Lord and all this kind. Relevant questions for all human beings. And after he has answered, now we have come to a conjunction where Maharaj Parikshit is going to ask more questions. So before that, in this verse, he is telling how great Sukadev Goswami is. That is, the Bhagavatam is not just spoken by anyone on the street. He is one of the topmost of all. Imagine the place when you are sitting down and all. You know, there are so many sages, great sages who are very well known, greater than even the Pandits. Pandits can, you know, memorize and he can throw out a lot of arguments and a lot of points to support his conclusion. But here he is not talking about Pandit. He's not a Pandit. After all, he's not a Pandit. No. He is more than a Pandit. Because not only he can give you the best advice, he can give you even much more than that. That is why Maharaj Parikshit immediately asked him, what should I do? I've got only 7 days to leave. And immediately. And then there were so many sages and they gave different kinds of conclusion. They say, okay, one said, okay, you do some worship for Vishnu, you can be good. You know, you should surrender to this, you know, this particular form of the Lord and pray to Him, or, you know, you must take up this, take up that. You know, so many. They were telling so many. And as soon as Sukadev Goswami came, he took the asana and then this same question was asked. And he said, without any doubt, just listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. That's it. That's it. You are back. To go back home. That is all. The fastest and the shortest route is just to listen. Because, as I said, chanting is one of the most powerful things that we can do on our own. Reading we can do, but it's not like the same as, you know, collectively coming together and then discussing and listening. And someone speaks, someone listens. No, it's not like that. It's because when we read, we are limited by our own advancement. Okay, if you are at that level, then whatever you understand will be at that level. No. But when another one, then you will have different angles. See, his realization is different. But basically, you should make sure that he is bona fide. Not the one who is just not following any Krishna conscious this thing and then you are wasting time. Because that one is, you know, he is putting in his own argument and logics. We are not talking about logic. Logic can be thought of today and then find a solution, and by tomorrow you can find another solution. break this argument. That's why logic is not the perfect answer. Logic does not work in this argument. So Goswami, this Sukadeva Goswami, is very, very, very learned. He's very learned in poetry. See, here is an abstracting of the poetic emphasis of the quality. And if we were to say that this particular quality of poetic is one of the qualifications of a Vaishnava, of an advanced Vaishnava, it's very poetic. You can see in our sampradaya there are quite a lot of people coming in our discipline succession. They are also kavis. Besides all the other qualities, this poetic thing is strong. Like one of the easiest and simplest we can straight away think of is like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who their poetic is fantastic. You read their legends. So very. The poetic means you must be able to arrange the words so nicely. And it should make, and the meaning and everything should coincide with. Not that, you know, it sounds nice, the music, you know, to suit the music or the tune, oh, I will go and tune that. No, it doesn't work like that. A poet is a perfect person who can think of the right word and the meaning according to Shastra and English stuff. That is why we sing Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur song in the Vaishnavi. It is very, very touching and very strong and striking. Because they are really, their poetic thing is manifesting very high. Because that's one of their missions. So it will. And even Prabhupada, you know, he wrote the one at Jaladuta when he was about to land. He was, you know, he was writing that particular this thing. You read, you can see how poetic Prabhupada is. But that is not his mission. His mission is not to come and give points and all that type of things. So his mission is somewhere else, so you know, he concentrates on writing, translating into English. But he has that particular problem. So similarly, you see advanced degree, they will have certain amount of writing. It's a question of whether they want to, because these 36 qualities, it's not manifest at all times. It's not manifest. But for a sadhu, he is always manifest. And the thing is, during Chaitanya Prabhu's time, like Dhavan Das Thakur, Sachin Das Thakur, these are all great, great Vidyavadi, Kavi Karnapura, in whole. It's fantastic. The way they create, you know, they write literatures in poetic form. They write literature in poetic form. Can you imagine the whole Bhagavatam, how beautifully it is in sung? Just reciting, that is why it has a lot of potential. Because the words and the meaning all chosen so well. And it is synchronizing with everything in the Shastra. It doesn't contradict in any way. That's why even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, some of them try to come and give to certain kavi, you know, he tried to put his poetic form and he tried to impress Mahaprabhu. Look here, this is something I'm going to publish, this is so nice, you know. Mahaprabhu said, have you first of all given to Govindas, go and ask him, see first. No, ask my servants first, whether it is okay. Then when they say no means no. Then they say, then they will say, no, how come? No, 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 cannot be. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will say to him, hello, this, like this, how can it be? It's contradicting one another, and the meaning does not sound at all correct. It is not according to this. So like this is a poetic, very powerful. That's why Sukadeva Goswami is purpose. Pointing, you can see around the whole time. And so, the Vaishnava qualities are mentioned here. So we will try and touch on them as much as we can. As much as we find for each. So, one of the things we have to admit is that all the Vaishnava's qualities are good qualities. They only have good qualities. Yeah. Because they are very open, broad-minded, and they are thinking of others' welfare, not their own welfare. So therefore, these Vaishnava qualities become manifest in these people. The moment we are having self-interest, then our quality will never be good. Okay? Because everything will dovetail according to what we want in life, which can be partial. Okay? So we become partial to so many things. So therefore, our qualities will never be good. Vaishnava is broad-minded. He wants to help everyone. That is his quality. And that is his aim of life. He is living for others, not for himself. And so, these qualities, okay, now the first thing is, where these qualities come from? These qualities are coming from Krishna. Everything that we see in this material world, everything is coming from Krishna. We may classify it, okay, this is bad, that is good, but whatever is, all coming from Krishna. Because the good and the bad that we classify is based on how it is used. Okay, in what context we use it. It's like a knife. You can take the knife, you can cut the fruits and serve it to the Lord. At the same, you can use the knife, you can poke someone and kill the guy. The same thing is, knife, both are knife. But the way we use it is where we classify. So we cannot say the knife is bad. Although in one sense he will say, when he uses it as a weapon, then it is bad. It's harmful. So similarly, these qualities, there are 64 qualities in the, out of the many qualities, 64 qualities are very prominent in Krishna. Okay? That is in full. The 64 qualities are in full in Krishna. So therefore, we being minute particles of Krishna, we also have these minute qualities. Okay? We are no different from Krishna in quality. We are, because as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that you are part and parcel. My part and parcel. So, whatever quality I have, I also have. But in very minute particles. So in these minute particles, then what happens to us? Now we are flat, gone. Krishna is still full of qualities, and we are with all the qualities down. Why? Because it's covered. It's covered by Maya right now. That means Maya means the material. The material concept of life. A bodily concept of life. All these are our coverings. So as a result, our quality is also being covered. The good qualities that Krishna has doesn't manifest. And as we advance in Krishna consciousness, then his good qualities will start manifesting. It is like is then, but not manifest. It's like our spiritual form. Every one of us, according to Shastra, it is there. The spiritual form, we all have our own spiritual form. Our four-handed form. Is there. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, so therefore we also have that. but he is not manifest. Why? Because he is coming into contact with Maya, the three modes of consciousness. So he does not manifest, that's all. So, similarly, these good qualities, if not manifest, then we must see, go and associate with those people who have these qualities. Then we get the qualities. And similarly, Krishna is fire. Krishna is fire. And we are also fire in quality thinking. But he is a blazing fire and we are just a spark. So quantitatively we are always small. And because of that, and because we also have the tendency to be like Krishna, we are also like Krishna. Because why? We are part and parcel. So that is why some people like to, you know, imitate. I am Krishna, I would like to be like Krishna, you know. Think that he is Krishna and then he will, you know, superhero kind of dreams will be going into their mind. Or if they have, when it happens, I will this one, I will do that one, I can do now. Or in actually not. But he thinks that he is. So, this imitation, thinking I am God, is because there is a minute particle. We are minute particle of him. But they definitely forget the qualitative and the quantitative difference. Qualitatively you may be one, but quantitatively you are far below. We are so far below, there is no question of me equating with Krishna in this quality. So similarly, this fire spark falls down. Okay, he is falling out of this fire and becomes extinguished. Why? Because a spark which can remain in the fire with a fiery type of quality only when we are in contact with the blazing fire. Once we come out of the fire, then we slowly will extinguish. So now, our duty is to ignite back this fire, to create the link. If there is no link with the big blazing fire, Krishna, then the small fire, small spark here will never shine, will never come out, never get the quality. And so, the only way is to get this ignition back, we have to go back to the original person who is having that blazing fire, who is the source of that consciousness. That's Krishna. So, and this particular process is what we call Krishna consciousness. We are just attaching back. Our qualities are lost. That's why we are struggling in this world, having so much of problems. Otherwise we don't know what to do and what not to do. So we are trying to get the attachment back to Krishna. Then through His mercy, but to get to know Krishna and get the attachment, then that is where the Guru comes in. You need a Guru to connect you and teach you about Krishna. Who is Krishna? What is his qualities? Who are we? How we become part and parcel? What is all these things are attachment, bring back. We teach back our connection back to Krishna. And out of so many qualities, this 26 becomes manifest. So sadhu, 26 will come very, they will be fully manifest. You know, 64, you won't find 64 in here. These 26 are the key ones who will be manifesting, the dominant ones that will manifest in Vaishnava, in the sadhu. And the next question we have to ask is, after looking at the list of the qualities that Prabhupada has actually put in so far, we have to ask ourselves, how many of these are relevant to us? This is manifesting in us. How many of these qualities are actually manifesting in us? That is to say, he is the number goes too low, that means we have a lot of catching up to do.
Okay.
So, but at least we know. We know. We are definitely far better off than anyone on the street who does not know about these words and the purport. He has not read the purport, so he doesn't know the quality. But at least we know this is our aim. And by the process of Krishna consciousness, we can reach that. It is not impossible. It is never impossible. In Krishna's dictionary, there is nothing impossible. He can meet him. Even the most impossible thing that we may think, he can meet it is possible. That is why he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are not. Or none of them are. So, in this thing, we must also understand as we increase in Krishna consciousness, advance, then we this quality starts to manifest. But how do we know that we are advancing? Yes, we are borrowing, how we are offering food, we are reading, we are chanting. How do we know that we are actually advancing in Krishna consciousness? That is the key question that we all have to ask. The easiest and the simplest way to know is whether we are having how much of attachment we have for material things. The more we have attachment for material things, that means our advancement is slow. For our advancement is lesser attachment, the more advanced you are. Because it is something like, you know, if you take up this is a scale where you are putting spiritual material, the more material thing you put, you see lesser would be the spiritual. The more spiritual you put, the material will go down. Because they are the two different opposite ends. So therefore, and Prabhupada is saying, this is Prabhupada's words, progress of bhakti means one side detached and another side we increase our attachment. That is bhakti. It is not a question of bhakti means I can do whatever I want, everything is fine, everything is fine. One side if it goes up, the other side must have the attachment. Where is the attachment to Krishna? If the attachment from the material goes to spiritual, then we are successful. We are advancing. If the attachment in material still stays, then spiritual is still lacking. Nothing happens. So, these 26 qualities, out of these 26 qualities, the first one is showing as kindness. If you look at it, it is actually the stepping stone to all the other qualities. And the sadhus, you can see how Vaishnavas, you know, how these great Vaishnavas, how kind they are. It's very difficult to express it. Can you imagine, like, you know, they just keep up even the homely comforts that you can think of. Like people like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they are not ordinary, they are not born a pauper, no? Or mendicant like that, you know, not like just walking around, no? They are very rich, they are ministers, no? And it is said at that time he is earning lakhs. At that time, the processing power is so high. And he gave up. Both of them, they just gave it up. Why? Because he is looking. Look. how difficult each one of these living entities are suffering and working so hard for what? A piece of bread to fill a belly. He's working so hard. When he sees it, he's bleeding. His heart bleeds. Why are they working so hard? It's like a donkey, you know. Grass is everywhere, and yet he's worked so hard for his master, and eventually at the end of the day, he'll just give him a little grass. His grass is available every nook and corner. His grass created in every corner. And he grows so fast. No, he doesn't go and take so easily. No, this is not cheap. After hard work, when it comes, it's wonderful. So similarly, when people are working so hard for their daily bread, and here, the sadhus, they are crying. They say, no, something must be done. They are so ignorant. You know what Prabhupada used the word ignorance, he always say ignorant. Actually, the word ignorant is very, very appropriate, because you know why? It's ignoring the principle of spiritual life, the very basis of his human life. He's ignoring it. Instead of he developing spiritual life in this, reducing his human life, he's ignoring it. So when he is in ignorance, definitely, so he has to bring him out. So you see, all the great sadhus of our Disney tradition, they are all doing this. And so he is becoming mendicant order. Then in order to just to get them all to track, he also taking up this mendicant order. Otherwise there is no reason why he write book, he can write in this thing. He can stay at home and he can write the same book. He can write. Mendicant order, he gets the prize. So therefore, this, our Vaishnavas, this is the way they are showing their kindness. They are very kind to all. And on top of that, the other one is peaceful and truthful. Peaceful, no need to say. When you are not angry, you are not peaceful, and so many qualities, where it's such, you know, no peace. Those people who are practicing this spiritual life, there is no question of no peace. No peace. He will be peaceful. Truthful? Yes, he is truthful. Why? Because he knows the ultimate truth. Krishna. He knows the ultimate truth, Krishna. So what else? That is called truth. So when he knows this type of truth, then where is the question of he is not truthful? Then the other point is no distinction. When he is kind, that he go around, okay, you deserve, I don't deserve, you don't deserve. No, everybody, there is no distinction to say man, woman, or animal, man, animal, no. And tell, you know, just because you want to, don't want to give somebody else something, then you, what you need to do is you just bring down the other guy. By just saying, okay, for enough, man, animal, oh, man, animal, oh, man got soul, and animal no soul. Stupid. These are stupid arguments, because in Shastra it says all living entities, which actually is Atma. So there is no question of just because you went into an animal body or any other kind of body, the lower species, you are not soul. Soul is there. So, this kind of distinction all, no, they will give everyone. You know, once in Subhadeva Goswami, he's elevated, but nevertheless, you know, as a father of a Vyasadeva, he wants to make sure that his son is really up to the mark. So therefore, one day he told Subhadeva Goswami, "My dear son, please go and see King Janaka to sharpen your sense control. Sense control is very important, otherwise that is the question of these qualities." So he said, "Please go and see. Go to him and see, he will be able to teach you how to do sense control." So he went to this King Janaka's palace. So when he reached there, he sent words, he sent message to the king saying that Vyasadeva's son has come. Would like to take his question. So the word was sent to the king. He was waiting outside the palace. He waited and waited and waited. He waited for 3 days. No sign of the king. You see the palace, you see all these servants and all, they are moving up and down and all these things. Yes. No sign of the king. But finally, after the 3rd day, King Janaka came. King Janaka is a very advanced devotee of the Lord. He is not an ordinary person. So he came, then he started asking our this king, "Now, what has happened?" Sukadeva Goswami was so cool and calm. He didn't ask him, "My dear king, I have been waiting here for 3 days. What happened?" Neither did the king say anything about this 3 days. Sukadeva did not. Sukadeva was sitting there and he was in his Krishna conscious mode and he was doing his chanting and no, he has been going on his spiritual thing. He didn't bother whether when he's coming or what. Not a single bit of an anger just came out from him. And what did the king do? The king did not mention about it. He immediately came, "Oh my dear Sukadeva Goswami, how wonderful it is to see you." And he gave him a royal welcome, "Please come." And he, Sukadeva Goswami, was not even slightly, but because he was the king, king is of course he has to give him the royal welcome. That is his duty. He just took it as normal and he went in. And inside there, his palm went in, and then the king said, "All right, Maria Goswami, please open your mouth. Show your tongue." And he put one small lump of sugar onto his tongue. And that, and he said, "All right, you leave it there for some time." And after some time, he said, "Okay, now open the mouth." And he found the sugar was there as it is. It did not melt, it did not white, because in his mind, he is not concentrating on the senses of this thing, how sweet it will be, so nice to taste and all. It doesn't matter. So therefore, he just remained. Now the saliva comes out. Can you imagine what kind of bottle? That you don't know we have. Of course, it is not, it is beyond our perception. That's what happened. the sugar was as it is, not even this. The saliva also no. Saliva was as it is, but no such thing as extra saliva to make it dissolve. So then, suddenly, this Maharaj Janaka was amazed. Oh, what is this? It's fantastic. He did not even secrete a single drop of saliva. So then he said, alright, come. Then he gave him a cup of milk. He filled up the milk right to the brim. And then he said, my dear Goswami, please, take this and circumambulate round the palace. So he went to circumambulate round the palace. My goodness, the whole palace, you know, the way it is being decorated, and you see wonderful landscaping, so beautiful environment. And not only that, environment, natural environment like that was there. There were so many damsels. Damsels are so beautiful, beautiful, beautiful women. They are singing and dancing along the way. And Sukadeva Goswami is just going and he is seeing, just walking and going. So he took this milk pot in the hand and he went down, he circumambulated and he came back. When he came back, my goodness, and our Maharaj Janaka, he looked at, so, not a drop of milk had spilled. Because there is no agitation, it's mine. His mind is perfectly fixed. The concentration is fixed on Krishna. So, he was not at the same. He said that not only there is a spill, there was no spilling of milk. It is said that not even agitating, so much so, it's not even shaking. You are still. The milk was still on the top. No shaking. So this is what Sukadeva Goswami is about. And out of his fixed concentration on the Lord, he just congratulated him. And told him, yeah, Sukadeva Goswami, you can go back to your father. Please tell Vyasadeva that you have already conquered all the senses. You have already conquered, so therefore there is no question of coming, no need to come to me. You are way above. See how they control. They have no other thoughts. They are fixed. And whereas Vaishnavas are kind, but there are these philanthropists, nationalists, altruists. They are also seemingly looks like kind. Because I'm helping. I am helping somebody, because the motto is, I am not looking at my self-interest, I am looking at somebody else's self-interest. So therefore these philanthropies, naturally, they are also doing the same thing. They also have, but their kind of kindness that they are showing is actually self-interest. What is good for them? In that way, they try to be appear like kind. They are only showing this kindness, but they are inside. They are not kind. They are very selfish. One of the very clear good example is, look at some of the countries. How they, you know, surpluses, so much of surpluses of grains. Just that because, oh, the prices will go down, I go and dump it into the ocean. This is going on. Just to control price. See? So, what is this philanthropy and all this? What? I'm doing nothing. This kindness cannot be compared to this kindness of the Vaishnavas. Because no matter how, there is some form of this selfishness there. Vaishnavas, there is not a tinge of this selfishness. If you can become higher than me, advance more than me, very good. That is what I want you to do. Because I am the lowest of the lowest. So you become better than me, better. I feel very glad. Whereas the philanthropists know, irrespective of what, now I am giving you so much thing, help and all this. You must forever be in the receiving end, receiving help. You cannot come and sit in my place and start giving. Then I become very angry. That is the problem. Naturally, same. So this kindness cannot be applied to these people. And then, and Prabhupada is saying, please distribute and prasadam. This is kindness. Not throwing it away and then telling, oh my thing, this thing. What's wrong if somebody is anyway next door, they are not having it. And they are suffering. And they don't have the means to buy it. So if you are already having enough. If we give this to the other, what has gone wrong? On our part, nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose. And yet, because of the selfish interest, no. Price will go down. Price is going down, up and down, is because the idiot, you know, who doesn't have cow, who has only cow brain inside, who are speculating the whole market. You know, the whole commodities price is going up. Why? Because of the market. It has been speculated in the market, the oil also the same. If they can stop trading of all these commodities, everything will be solved. It is because of the trading. Everything the farmer makes, the farmer does not get the thing. You know, these commodities guys, they will go and buy in bulk. At a certain price, you will say this is the market price. And you will come and carry away a whole thing. And the ordinary people will not get it. So everything is taken up and put there for trading. And each one will be speculating, oh maybe, you know, tomorrow this shortage can come. Because now a lot of rain, this will go. So let me put. Then they will start putting a future price and some kind of price. And then based on that price, it becomes your price that we have to pay. If there is no trading, no speculation, will there be any price increase? No. It will be according to the farmer he makes. His cost is only so much. So he needs a little profit for his survival and we just pay that and we get it. That was what was going on in the long, long, long old good old days. But now everything was put in the market, even spices was trading. So one small price down there, which is so, if you go and ask the farmer how much does it cost to go into, even telling you, just, you know. So, you know, the price that they are charging to you and you, it is terrible. Because of the discontent and all this in the name of money. So, and one thing. This Prabhupada is putting it very strongly. No Krishna conscious, they cannot be kind. If you are not a Krishna conscious person, you cannot be kind. You will have a tinge of this kind of selfishness. You cannot run away from that. We can try. We take Krishna consciousness out of our life and we see. Selfishness must be there, otherwise we cannot survive. See? Krishna consciousness, we survive by mere attachment of Guru and Gauranga. Their mercy, their surrender. We are not surviving because of anybody's giving us. No. So therefore, the next thing is something is magnanimous. People, you know, this magnanimous business is actually the word magnanimous cannot be used for any other person other than Sadhu. Vaishnava. A true Vaishnava. A pure devotee. He is only and of which, of course, as you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the topmost. He is so magnanimous, he is giving prema, come. Because he only looks at it as living entity. He is my part and parcel, he is living entity. If he is living entity, he deserves. He gives the prema. You, he gives you. Come, take. And he is not worried whether 10 people become, gets prema, prema bhakti. No. The more the merrier. Come. Come back to my spiritual world. See, this is magnanimous. Then, mild and clean. Of course, we will be mild. A Vaishnava who has this kind of qualities, he will be very mild. He will not take things very seriously. And all. Cleanliness, no need to say, because it's next to godliness. So, I will be clean. And in a Vaishnava, it is said, there is no question of this cleanliness as a kind of big distinction. Because why? He has already surpassed the stage of Brahmanical life. Brahmanical life in this world means cleanliness. Brahmanical life is synonymous to cleanliness. He has already surpassed this. Then where is the question of he is not being clean. He is very, very clean. And then he is non-possessive. He is not interested, okay, I want this, I want that, you know, all this. Materialistically, a person always will be thinking, I want more, I want more, I want more. And the more never ends. See, life after life never ends. Because it's very possessive. I only want. Others ever or not, doesn't matter. It's like, you know, the food, oh, I can eat, eat. Cannot eat back. Whether others eat or not, doesn't matter. Because why he's so stupid comes late. He's so stupid and he comes late, so therefore it is his fault. It's not a question of fault and not fault. It is meant for him. It is meant for everybody, so he has to share. So, and it's very simple. Yes. This is absolutely necessary. You have to be very simple. Don't complicate life. Now we are in total mess. The whole world is in a mess now. Why? Because simplicity is completely gone. We rolled up from planet Earth already. See? No more. We are not simple. If we go into our house, we can all try it. Today when you go back, go into the house and then you look at all the items and see how many of the items are those that you actually require. Actually require means it's a matter of life and death and it's very necessary. And I think that you will be able to count up with only a few handfuls. The rest of the items are all redundant. They are the extras which we work so hard and then we brought it in. And it's actually an extra garbage we are carrying and working very hard to maintain. What to do? See, because no simplicity. No simplicity. Okay? So, then well-wisher. He's a well-wisher. A well-wisher. See, why is a well-wisher? Because he knows the future and the rat race that we are going through, we are groomed. we actually doomed already. The Vaishnava who is advanced, he can see. You are doomed, you are going through to the cliff is coming. And you are foolishly going on. And the Vaishnava is just thinking, how I can save him? He is not thinking of anything else, of his inconvenience. Never mind, if I just sit under a tree, doesn't matter. But at least, why? Because when you sleep under the tree, then only they will come and say, Sadhu, very nice, how are you? And all these things, he will hear, listen to him. If he also sits in the house and he is having a listen, this person has no knowledge, he has no nothing. Even all this full knowledge and all, he must be sitting in the as a mendicant. That's right, the Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami and all these great, great personalities, they take up this order. So that people will come and listen to them. At least have faith. Okay, this person must, because he, you know, if he can renounce like that, oh, he must be somebody very great. So it's a value, this person. So he's a well-wisher. And this well-wisher, you see, a well-wisher, he's having, you know, he's also having a desire. When you say, a Vaishnava doesn't mean he's desireless and it's like a big log. No, it's not a big log. He also has desires and feelings. His feeling and desire is for the well-being of others. That's why he's a well-wisher. So this, his desire is different from ours because his desire is not, no such thing as exploitation there. Our desire is always tailored to exploitation. See, I want to take over him. Like in the form of help and all, but then somehow or other, I want to be on the top all the time. I want to be on the top of the chart. You always come and ask me for help and you become, you know, I'm not your servant. You always my servant. And so, this Vaishnava's desire is always thinking, what, how will others be happy? This is his desire. How will they will understand Krishna? The reason they are going through all this difficulty and not having this happiness and all these things is because they don't know who is Krishna. They don't know who is God. And then, how will they get happiness, not only in this life, but the next life and the next life, and all the lives, to become happy. Philanthropies and all this, what are thinking, okay, you are what? You are suffering now, no food? Come, I give you some food. He is thinking of next moment, his stomach becomes, alright, I give some food, I eat it, my hunger is gone. How long? Within a few hours, again, my hunger comes. Next. Here he is, the Vaishnava, his desire is not like that. He is thinking of not only this life, next life also. Every life. I want to make sure that no more suffering for you. Because he is making way, he is teaching us how to come back to Krishna. That's why he's a well-wisher. That's why we always call Prabhupada ever well-wisher. It's ever our well-wisher. And this is what we call Vishnu. This quality cannot be matched with anyone else. Or impersonally, so what? Impersonal is always blooming. He's making a spiritual life bloom. So, a Vaishnava is satisfied. In any condition, that is the next one, satisfied. He is satisfied. He has nothing to ask, no. My Lord, you give me, that is it. That is it. What I deserve is what you are giving. So what is the quarrel about? Nothing. So he is always satisfied. When you are satisfied, you are always happy. Happiness go together with satisfaction. And then And then you will see in the one hand, those people who are not satisfied. What are they doing? They are telling, no, 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 I want this thing, I want that thing, that thing. Then you see, he's setting his condition. If I have all these things, then I'll be satisfied. Otherwise, I will leave. You know, some people come, oh, in this congregation I expect this. You know, I will leave. Actually, what type of this thing is this? If you are going to leave, you are going to leave, that means that is not Vaishnava qualification. Because whatever condition Krishna gives, you have it. You can't expect certain things. Because if you put certain satisfaction like this, you know, then what is going to happen is we are definitely going to be in Samsara. If we are going to leave, then we are going to go into some other kind of life. We are going to be in demonic life. We are definitely going into demonic life. Because if not a spiritual, then you have to go in material life. There are only two lives. Two types of life in this world, material life or spiritual life. So therefore, if you are living the spiritual life and you say, no, I don't want to go. And what you're going to do is you're going to get into the monk. And therefore, he's telling, do not leave. Because at least, even though you are not so satisfied because of the advancement, we don't see that satisfaction yet. But at least you are safe. With the company of the devotees, you are safe. Even though you are not satisfied, you are still safe. See, you won't fall into that demonic life. So therefore, that is satisfaction. And satisfaction, if you have the full satisfaction, when you are fully surrendered to Krishna. The next one, surrender. When you are fully surrendered to Krishna, then the full satisfaction comes. The moment there is no surrender to Krishna, then this satisfaction will not come. No matter how this thing is run or whatever also, you will never get the satisfaction. You will still see some room of this can improve, that can improve. Over time, everything can be. But right now, make yourself comfortable with what we have. What's the use of talking about something which we don't have? Be happy with what we have first. Then, why is he fully satisfied? Because he knows that Krishna is taking charge of me. When Krishna is taking charge of me, then why should I be unsatisfied? You should not. Because Krishna is taking charge, that is the order of the way as far as spiritual life is concerned. And we have to be satisfied. And then, if I'm suffering, you are coming and all this and you are suffering. That is also the grace of the Lord. Even suffering is the grace of the Lord. Because the Lord thinks it's better for you to have a little suffering. If I make everything rosy for you, you'll be lost. You'll be lost among the roses. So the best is you put some thorns there and all these things. So have some little suffering also. To us, suffering means no good. And all the satisfaction and all these things, good things that come, oh, that is very good. Sometimes suffering is necessary, like children, sometimes they are naughty, they have to be pain. Some little pain has to be, so that he knows, hey, come on, everything is not so good, I cannot have everything in this world. And the more we sometimes get, we also become very lax. we take it for granted. No, it's my right to have it. No, what we deserve is what we are getting. If it is suffering we are getting, that is what we deserve. If we take it that way, then nothing will go wrong. In our mind, we will become satisfied. Because if Krishna is judging the thing and he is telling, this is what you need, this is good for you, why not? If it's a medicine so bitter, that doesn't matter. If Krishna is telling, no, all his teeth will go, why not? Take it. No harm, even though it's so bitter. So therefore, is surrender. Surrender means in any condition you will remain surrendered. That is surrender. In any condition we must be surrendered. That is called surrender. The moment we say, oh, under this, no, that means this business. That is business. See, putting our own condition is business. Then he is telling Krishna, you mind your own business. I know what to ask for and what to do. That's business. And the strong, you know, when you surrender, the first thing, all these great personalities, you know what they have in mind? Krishna is my protector. Why should I worry about anything else? He is giving me the protection. So I need not have to worry. There is no question of no dissatisfaction at all. And the moment you see Krishna is already taking care of me, he is protecting me, then where is the question of anger? The next one is anger. There is a question of anger. There is no angering. We need not have to anger for anything. Because Krishna takes care of what is deserved for us, rent to get and all this. The moment we start angering and desiring on our own independently, it will be anger. Sometimes, you know, when we have a certain desire and anger for this and that, yes, Krishna says, well, what do you do with this? Child is, you know, he simply cannot understand and he doesn't want to accept what he wants. So alright, you have it. You have it, but what's the use? You will find that one which you get, you cannot use. Because it's not timely, not now. You have to wait maybe later on. So whatever we anger and we get, it will not be appropriate for us. Unless by kind of providence it is coming. And if we have all the bad habits, bad qualities in us, what is the use of that extra? It is also going to the bad habits, in fulfilling the bad habits. So that's why Krishna sometimes pulls. Say, no, not now, now. Later, I will give it to you. Later. So he builds up your quality, then he gives you. Here you are. Take. Like Prabhupada, you know how much of money, you know, rolling in his hand. At the time when he was in the 1970s, you know, 70s, when he was building so many temples and things on that, you know, the amount of money that is rolling in his hand. It's not his gifts. Because he knows there's no way he's money man. Krishna can go and tell to anybody, this is my man, so he will never deviate from me. He will always do things which I am pleased. So pleasing Krishna becomes number one priority. Then, the next one is simple. Simple is very easy. Take duplicity out. Okay? Just take the duplicity out of your heart and no more. Saying, speaking something, and then you are thinking of something else, you know. And hoping that, you know, you fall into the trap. This is not simple. This is duplicity. What you speak is not what you mean. That is why we say always, listen to a bona fide person speaking on Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita and all these things. Always say, go see a bona fide. one who repeats what he hears from his guru. That's all. That's nothing else from the attitude. So that is simple. No duplicity. But these great philosophers, what are they doing? They are contradicting one another. They are contradicting because today they find this is something nice. I know he is going to put my name in the front. Yes, everything goes. He will argue it in that way. But the next time he finds, oh, somebody else is defeating me. I'll find another one. He is contradicting what he said before. This is material world. And as far as we know, Bhat Shastra says only liberated persons they can say the right thing. Not any other. Once we have partiality and we have all this duplicity and all this in it, we can never say the right thing. We will only see the so called time, place and circumstances and everyone adding and minusing and contradicting all over the place. And so, that is why we are now hearing from Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami. Vyasadeva is compiling and Sukadeva Goswami. So, we can be rest assured this is the right thing. These are right things that are coming out in the Bhagavad. And all the Vedic literatures, you see, Bhagavad Gita is compiled by Vyasadeva. Why we are depending on him? He is the liberated soul. So therefore, you will definitely see correct in all respects. And that is actually our source of knowledge. Vaishnava's source of knowledge is this. Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, he is giving his backbone behind us. So there is no question of saying Krishna will say something else. No. Whatever Krishna has said or meant to, that is what they are also saying. That's why the source of knowledge is very, very strong. That's why our philosophy is very strong. Our Vaishnava philosophy is topmost. There is nothing, no other philosophy. You can even equal or even accept. There's no way. And the next one is manliness. Manly is understood because when you develop good qualities, manliness will come. You will be well mannered. And priceless, yes. There is nothing for him because he doesn't look at himself for anything. He is looking only at the welfare of others. So therefore there is no question of practice. Okay? There is no question of pride. They will say, oh, I am very proud, I want this. No, it's not proud. And great. What is this great? Great means don't talk nonsense. A great person will never talk nonsense. To him, everything makes sense. Makes sense. If not, don't waste time. It is wasting time. Why open the mouth and use some extra energy and then come out with a few words which doesn't make sense? Why waste time? Then you are not great. In that case, you are not great. All this nonsense coming out of the mouth. Just be quiet. That's why you see sadhus, they don't talk. But when they start talking, depending on the kind of audience, you know. If you find a good audience and all this, and you ask and you go and ask him, he will come out with wonderful words, wonderful knowledge. This is great. He only talks to what is required. Whatever related to Krishna, he talks. What has nothing to do with Krishna, nothing. You go and ask him about materialistic age, the financial thing is taking place, that is taking place. Okay. I mean, you will not even bother to hear this people. Then, because in his back of his mind he knows, you are fool number one, this is understood, what is that is talking to say all this. The way you are doing things is this is meant to be like that. What is new to me? Nothing. This is not new to me. This is understood. So he just don't even bother. So that is great. Then he's sympathetic. Sympathetic. If someone like in our fellow devotees, when they fall sick and all, and they kind of have been, you know, bring him to the hospital, let's keep my phone visiting, phone consulting, give him some nice chanting and some nice, because he may not be able to chant during that time. So at least he's already chant and he do some little treatment or something. So all has to, very sympathetic. Be sympathized. Not, oh, you never eat that. You know, materialistically you look at it, oh, you don't have food to eat, oh, very poor, I know, sympathetic. What is looking as sympathetic? Looking low on me. You can't even afford to buy one small little of little rice. You can't even buy it. Oh, horrible. You are an unsuccessful man in life. This is not sympathy. This is running down on a person. Because if his karma is like that, the poor guy is going through that, instead of sympathizing, we are actually running him down further. That is the worst. So, of all the things, then we are coming to friend. It's very friendly. Vaishnavas are very friendly. They have no enemies. Why? Because they are not self-interest. There is no self-interest in him. The moment there is no self-interest in him, and all this, he is satisfied with whatever condition, then everybody is a friend. Everybody is good, nice. Even a materialistic, okay, you are my friend. But only thing, no intimate friend. It's only a halu-halu friend. For the sake of, at least, you know, if we show some interest on something on Krishna consciousness, at least I can explain to him. For that, he keeps a little bit of friendship there. But his friends are all the Vaishnava and the sadhus and the great devotees. They are the friends. Krishna is a friend of everyone. So where is the question of we? So we also must be friendly to all. Does Krishna treat anyone not a friend? No. Even the worst of the worst, says the lowest of mankind, also, never mind, you come. He doesn't say anyone, no, you cannot come. See? So, finally we are coming to the point. So quality is one of the qualities which I already explained. We touched on it earlier. And he's expert. Okay? Expert means he is good at everything. Anything required for Krishna, he is good at it. To do his service, he will be good at it. If he doesn't, he will make himself. Because for the sake of serving the Lord, he will find a way out. And then finally silence. And silence, you know. Why silence is used here? Keep quiet. When we keep quiet, then what we use? There is no flow of this great knowledge will not come out. Silence in this case means not advertising. He doesn't go around advertising, we are the greatest of the greatest sadhus, you all must come to me for advice and he can give you some. He doesn't advertise himself in any way. That's why you see, in Prabhupada's name, you can see, his name is never, every time Krishna. You know, normally a movement when it is formed, you know, when it is set up, they always try to use this, the person who, the founder, becomes, you know, one of the key. His name is he often used. But in this Krishna consciousness, there is no. Prabhupada's name is never used in his, the name of one is used. He doesn't use his name. We know that he is the founder Acharya, so therefore we glorify him as founder. We glorify, not he himself say, no, must put this in the name, title of this society, we must put my name also down there. This is called silence. Silence. Because you say it or you don't say it, it's a done deal, it's understood. He is the Bhandacharya, it's understood. So it's absolute, that knowledge is absolute. See, nobody can divide. So therefore, we must always follow our Acharyas. Please do not imitate it. Because some of it is too high for us. We can only be perceived maybe, but to reach it is a long way for us. We are definitely trying. But at least we know the target that we need. And eventually we will. If we have faith in Krishna and Guru, that the guidance is there, and Krishna's mercy is there, Guru's mercy is there. It's a matter of time only. This is what Prabhupada said. Time is separating me. So, it's only the time. Once the time is up, it will manifest. No need to worry. But we, right now, excel in our own way, our spiritual life. So I will stop here. Any questions or comments? There is no time left. So if there is no question or comments, then we will stop here. Ganraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananda Gauri Vaishnavani ki
jai, Jai Pashupacharya Prabhu ki jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Thank you.